How good's a bit of Metallica for your Tuesday morning? March 28th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. What's your music pregame? Josh Reynolds joining us this morning, by the way, if you're just tuning in. Pup will be back tomorrow. What have you got?
You know what, Mido? These days, it's actually very, very different. There's a speaker about the size of me in the dressing room.
Who's in charge of that?
Oh, it's actually a... See, for me, if I get a bit embarrassed because if I'm going to play my Spotify on the speaker...
You get shouted down.
Well, the boys aren't going to know half the songs because you got the 18 and 17-year-olds. Yeah. They're all... It's all about Drake. Yeah, and all sure. that, yeah. And
Fox loves the music.
Oh, he loves it.
He brings the speaker, does he?
I think he forgot his mouth guard, but had the speaker the other day. So you can see where his priorities are at. But honestly, that's what it is, that they get the speaker in the it's huge and it's loud.
Yeah.
You can't even. I'm trying to think about where I got to kick to, what corner, and there's Drake rapping in the background. So, yeah, it's a bit different now.
I experienced that when I coached the All-Stars, the Indigenous boys, because you're going walking over to training, you hear the music and you're looking around going, where's that music coming from? Did a car just pull up and you're just blaring it out? And you've got one guy carrying this enormous speaker.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, right, oh, no worries. So then you get to training and they put it on the sideline. I go, oh, what's this thing? They go, oh, that's the speaker. I said, all right. Then you're warming up and they've got the music blaring. And I'm like, how long has this been going on? Yeah, Fox loves his country too.
Oh, he does, mate. He is honestly one of the funniest guys just in general. I've never seen anyone genuinely laugh about something. He laughs about everything. He'll look at me sometimes and just laugh his head off. He's great to have around, mate. He's got good energy, the Fox. I love it.
He certainly has.
Morning, Gutho. Who's in charge of the music at the Eels?
Morning, men, but definitely not me. I try and stay away too much pressure when the music's on. Someone like Fox doesn't care what people think, so he just chucks whatever he wants. But
is it the big speaker? Do you have the big speaker too, Gutho?
We've got it in the gym. We don't take it to games. Back in 2018, when it was sort of becoming a thing, we lost every single game, so that got canned pretty quick. So we haven't brought the speaker back. But in 2018, we gave it a try, and as I said, we lost pretty much every game. So went out the window pretty quickly, but pretty common these days.
Now, last Thursday night, at what point did you think Nathan Cleary's field goal was going through? Straight off the boot, halfway, at what point did the heart sink?
I'm pretty sure straight away. You can see my face if you zoom in. I'm right under the post, and my bottom lip sort of dropped a little bit when it was going, but what a kick. It was something that we knew was coming. We had a lot of pressure on him, and you could see, we sent it all at him, and he still got it through, and he probably could have hit it from 50. So one of those things you just say, good player, good attempt, and it's lucky we got away with it.
What did you say to the team, Gutho? Because I've seen a lot of teams in that situation lose momentum of the contest and then just go to pieces in Golden Point. But you were able to, you know, find your way down the other end, and Mitch was able to kick the field goal.
Yeah, it was hard because we lost Junior obviously on that last play, and they would have thought just grind them down and get them tired, and that's what Nate was thinking, put it in the corner on that first set. And we probably got a bit lucky with Wonga slipping and getting caught high, and we got sort of cheap field position. But look, we just had to stay in it, and that's what we did. And Mitch got his chance to hit it, and he hit it. So we probably got a little bit lucky, but we needed the win, and we got it.
Gutho, talking about Mitch, mate, he obviously stepped up and looked very cool, calm, and collected in that moment. Some big news with him signing through the week, mate. Is that do you think that's going to be good for the squad and for the future?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's confirmed yet, but look, if it is confirmed, it's going to be huge. We obviously know the type of player he's turned into, Grubb, and the last 3, 4, 5 years, he's been massive for us. And I think he's only going to get better. He's only 28 still, and still a lot of footy ahead of him. And I think that's why the contract took so long. And it's just massive for himself, his family, and the club. And we're going in the right direction. So hopefully it's all confirmed soon, and we can get away from that.
Now, Gutho, I was stunned when I heard about this yesterday, that Parramatta called you into the office and have spoken to you about a possible position change or the fact that they're looking to bring a fullback to the club. Can you just explain to us and our listeners what actually happened? Are they bringing someone in to replace you at fullback? Have they told you to move on? Are they looking for a player to come off the interchange bench? What's the actual story?
I think I'm just getting a bit old. To be honest, it's just me and Brad. We just had a conversation, and we've got three spots there to fill in our top 30, and we were just sort of going back and forth with what we need and where we sort of want to go in the next few years this season as well. And I just said, let's just look at everyone. And I'm there to win games. I've always said I just want to win. I just love playing footy and want to win games. And obviously, this came out the last, I don't know, 24 hours, and I think it's been blown out of proportion, to be honest. And I said to Brad, I'd be happy to do anything to win games of footy, and as would anyone else in the team. And wherever you're playing, you just want to win. And look, it's probably, as I said, been blown out of the water a little bit too much. But look, it's just one of those things that once the media and player managers get a hold of it, it takes off. And I think that's what it's doing now. So that was all the conversation that me and Brad had. I hadn't spoken to anyone else at the club, and now it's turned into this. So I'm sort of used to being thrown out there and sort of used as bait a bit at that. Look, that's the way it goes. And look, it doesn't bother me one bit. I woke up this morning with a smile on my face and going to work soon, so it doesn't bother me.
So, Gutho, how open are you to potentially playing another position there at Parramatta, even potentially in the short to medium term?
Yeah, look, I'll be open to it, but Brad said to me, they're not just going to do it to do it. It's one of those things. They've got to make sure if it does happen, it's going to be the right player. But from all I've heard, there's been no talks with anyone else yet. So I'm just going about my business, and I think I'm only getting into the best part of my career now. So it's going to be hard to find someone to replace me, and I'm going to keep that spot as long as I can.
Yeah, fair enough. Are they chasing you, Josh?
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but
I've had talks.
I've been watching Gutho for many, many years, mate, and I could never cover that much ground, let's just say that. But Gutho, mate, for me personally, mate, you'd be my fullback. I love the way you play, man. Honestly, it's pretty crazy. I'll be honest, I think it's crazy what's happened. But, mate, as you said, everything does get blown out in proportion in the media sometimes, mate. But mate, you did say, you know, you lose Junior for a couple of weeks, but you know, you've got Matto back now, and I know he adds another dimension probably to your attack, you know, squaring up the line and whatnot, mate. But the question is, has everyone forgiven him for what he's done, mate? Because, you know, I know Matto, and I would be absolutely fuming at him.
Yeah, look, it was a hard one. I think I might have come on to you last week and said it after the emotion in the grand final, the loss, and you just want to get away from footy, and we'll forgive him in probably 5, 6, 7 years. So we'll wait for that to get along. But I thought on the weekend he was tremendous. He come on, played hard, and I think he made 60-odd tackles for his first game back. It was outstanding. And I think he's just got to get back into that. And I think he came out in media and said the other day that he was he thought that other games would have counted and everything like that. But look, we moved on. We didn't really talk about it as a team, and hopefully he can score a few tries for us this week.
Tell us a bit about hooker Brendan Hands, who came off the bench and had a good impact.
Yeah, Hands has been great. He's been with us for a couple of years now, and I think he came back in the preseason and really ripped in, and he's actually outside our top 30, so he's really ripped in and tried hard to get into the spot and got an opportunity, and I thought he was outstanding on the weekend. Hodjo got a bit of a break there, and he had to come on and finish the game, and just pushing up in support, got a big try for us, and sort of went on to win us the game. And look, I thought he was, as I said, outstanding, and he's only going to gain confidence from that. He's a bit of an older debutant, and I think it showed on the weekend with his composure and how good he was.
I think when I watch your football, Gutho, I think you still got like good periods of footy in the game. I think you still got as good of attack as you had sort of last year, but you just don't do it consistently enough and for long periods. How do you get that back into your game like you were last year, the fact that you could play that style but continue to play it all through the 80 minutes?
Yeah, it's hard. It's just building combinations. We obviously got a brand new hooker. Our left and right edges, with Laney being gone, have have changed from where they were at the back end of last year. And those things take time, the fluency of trying to be able to play with each other, and a new hooker, edges, new bench there, all those things come into it. And I think when we, again on the weekend, when we just kicked into the corners and dragged them into our style of footy, we would make good metres, and a good defensive team, they're not going to let in tries. And look, we just got to back what we want to do, let our offloads sort of flow when they can. And on the back of those offloads, that's when our attack will shine. So it's just about doing, as you said, doing it consistently and playing the long game, and our attack will come off the back of that.
Gutho, you mentioned a new hooker. We've got the little maniac Mahoney in our team now. And, you know, Josh Hodgson. How have you found the difference between the two? Is Josh a bit more dominant, or do you think he suits the style of play a bit more than Reedy did, or what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I think two totally different players. I think Hodgie's got a bit more deception in what he's doing around the game and just with his feet and control of the ball. And he's obviously a lot older, been around the game a long time and has played with a number of players. And I think he just commentates the game the whole time. He's talking to his forwards. He's talking to Mitch and Dill. He's trying to get us around the park. And I think that's been the biggest difference for us. Grubb, just working with our middles to get to the right spots. And obviously, Reedy's a wonderful player and he's going to go on to big things. And I think just the difference with how young our spine was to, and then Hodgie coming in and taking control of it, it's really helped Mitch and Dill and especially me at the back. So I'd just say that's probably the biggest difference so far.
Well, I'm penciling this in. Sunday, April 16, Parramatta v Canterbury. Hopefully you're in the 17, Grubby.
Were you sledge Gutho?
You've just slavished him with
praise. Were you sledge Gutho? Has he ever sledged you before, Gutho, Grubby?
Never.
I'm sure he has. Definitely over the years. I'm sure he's got it a few times.
I never would. Well, I'm glad you're penciling him in, though, because if I am, you know, if I do get a chance, the good thing is Parramatta don't have a big pack. If I'm playing the so I'm sure they won't be spotting me up at all.
But the Roosters this week, Gutho, massive game, of course, and again, they're coming off the bye. What have you noticed about any sort of subtle differences you've noticed about them this year so far?
I think they've obviously started a bit slow and sort of back into it now, but I think the style of, again, they're coming in with a new hooker as well, and it's hard to adapt to. And I think with the quality that they have, they're always going to be good. And we have to make sure we're ready to go. And off the back of a bye, they're going to be fresh. But as I was saying, we just need to go there with our game, try and play the long game and get them into the grind. And that's when we're at our best and playing our best footy. So we're looking forward to it. They're going to be up for the big challenge and they're back at home. So we're looking forward to that as well.
And of course, the big news being that Joseph Swali is off to play rugby. Yeah, I suppose yourself and other players on the cusp there of Origin feel, if Joseph Swali'i, knowing that he's going to rugby in 2025, if he was selected, say, instead of yourself or someone else you believe is, you know, around that sort of, just on the fringe of selection, would that sort of put people offside?
Oh, I don't think so. He's obviously committed to the Roosters for the next 2 years, and if you're good enough to be playing in the Origin arena, you're going to get picked. It doesn't matter about where you're going, what you're doing. He's signed that 2 year deal with the Roosters, and then he's secured his future early. I think it's a smart move by him to sort of end the speculation, and he can get on with what he's trying to do at the Roosters, and obviously trying to win the comp. And then when the time comes around to move to rugby, he's going to move to rugby. But look, it's one of those things that I'm sure Freddie and the team are going to pick the best player for the series, and if it's Joseph, it's going to be Joseph.
Gutho, thanks so much as always. Go well against the Roosters.
Thanks, man. Have a good week.
Clint Gutherson there, Parramatta. This is the Thursday night game. $2.55. 5.5 point outsiders at the line. The Roosters $1.52. Gee, they've had a tough start to the season, Parramatta.
They have.
Tough draw.
Yeah, and they're still such a good team.
Well, Sean Lane, they're hoping will be back the Easter Monday
they've
game.
They've competed in every
Tigers
game this year. Mm. They've been in most games.
Well, they lost the 3 by 4 points.
4 points. So they're not far away. So if they can jag a couple of wins, you know, before their troops get back they'll still be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Loz, isn't it? I just Gutho just said something then about if we play our footy and we go set for set, we'll get them in the end. Everyone's got that mentality, don't they?
Mm.
Everyone. That's what we say. Mm. You know, if we can take teams to the end, we'll win. But yeah, I just funny. I feel these days that's what everyone thinks. But yeah, is there a team that goes, look, boys, let's start fast and don't worry about the finish?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The interesting thing is you need to start fast.
Mm.
Every game you got to give your energy early. But it's a matter of your will against someone else's will,
yeah.
And just to hang in there and not be outworked, and that's what the good sides do when they have their moments during a game where they're struggling. You don't concede a lot of points. That I think that's the key, because you're always going to have a period where you haven't got the ball and you're under the pump, but some teams just the floodgates open and. Yeah, they concede points,
yep.
Whereas the good teams will hang in there, somehow find a way to stop the opposition scoring or limit the amount of points they score. Mm. And then when they get momentum back in their favour, that's when they counterpunch and that's when they score. And that's what you've got to be good at. A bit like the boxer in the ring, you've got to absorb some punishment and you've got to stay out of the road of the big KO. But when you get an opportunity to go bang... and put the opponent on the back foot, that's when you've got to take advantage of it. And I think that's what the good sides do, because you never have that full control for 80 minutes.
Momentum swings are massive.
They change a lot, don't
they're
they?
Massive.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I reckon I feel the difference in, when I was here before, going England, coming back. Like, you've got to be able, you're right, you've got to know that you're not going to always have the momentum. But it's who can weather the storm for that period and still come out not going into your shell, not being tired. You still got to play footy after the momentum.
Yeah, and for me, that's the key. It's that period where you acknowledge that, hang on, things aren't going great now. But if we get through this period, if we get through this 10-minute period where we're under the pump, we get our chance. Mm-hmm. And then we have to have enough energy and enough... experience in our team to be able to still think about how we're going to get points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can conjure points up and put the opposition on the back foot, because they go, geez, we've had momentum here. We should have put more points on. They've come down the other end. They've scored. That's a killer, mentally for an opposition team.
On the text line, morning lads, message to all supporters of the greatest game of all rugby league. In the age of me and what I want... have a listen to the interview of King Gutho. What a true legend. I just want to win games. So let's get everyone. Some young guys coming through and disgruntled supporters need to listen to this. Cheers, Woogie Shapes, sending that one through. So what came out of our chat with Gutho in response to the reports that Parra, have spoken about getting another fullback in? It sounds like, Gutho explained that it was him and Brad Arthur basically had a chat and said, let's try and bring in some new players. They've got three spots to fill in their roster. So it sounds like Gutho's been actually a part of the discussion. That's how he explained it to us anyway.
Yeah, and I feel as though Gutho won't be the one that's going to move into a different position. I think Gutho will be the one that plays fullback, and then possibly they'll have someone come in that may be that X factor off the bench. And at some stage during a game... if it's not working, then they might move Gutho around. But just be careful what you wish for too.
Mm.
Because, Gutho's their leader. His leadership is so strong with his actions. And he does all the little things that you want a skipper to do. And you could never question his attitude or effort in a game. And when you're coaching, that's what you're preaching. You're preaching those little things, and he does it more than anyone in that team.
Mm. Well, let's flip it the other way. Let's say Parramatta are doing the right thing by Gutho in saying, look, mate, you're not going to lose your position. There's going to be a bit of a media storm about us going out to get another player in your position, but we just want to be on the front foot and let you know that you're fine. And then, it's sort of been twisted and you can make anything out of, they're getting another player.
Yeah.
But maybe Parra are just doing the right thing and letting him know. And they genuinely just want you know, someone who can maybe break open a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they're looking for that type of player, you'd be okay with it. But I couldn't imagine, and I'm hoping that they haven't, and you know, we've spoken to Gutho about it, so it was just that type of conversation. Because I was thinking, mate, if they're going after another fullback here, unless it's, you know, Tedesco or Tom or, Latrell, there's no way in the world you're giving up Gutho.
Now, yesterday in the golf, the World Golf Match Play, it ended up being won convincingly by Sam Burns. He beat Cameron Young, the two Americans, in the final there. So, in fact, 6-5. He won that very convincingly indeed, Sam Burns. And in the other match, the third place playoff, Scotty Scheffler, the world number one, beat Rory. Oh, sorry, McIlroy beat Scheffler, I should say. McIlroy beat Scheffler 2-1. Just a quick look at the Masters next week. The market with Tab as it stands. 10 years since Adam Scott won the Masters. Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler, both $8 each at $2. John Rahm, $10. Cameron Smith, along with Jordan Spieth, both $15.
You okay,
what is going on?
You okay?
Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Cameron Young, Patrick Cantlay, among those at $21 that market open with Tab, of course. We've got Josh Reynolds with us this morning. And I know you're a big NFL fan, Josh, big Eagles fan, just reading over in the NFL. Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson has requested a trade. And he's posted on his social media that the Ravens haven't been interested in meeting his value. Also interested on your take in Aaron Rodgers going on a darkness retreat. The Green Bay Packers quarterback just going to... And he said before he went into the darkness retreat, he was 90% leaning towards retirement. But then he probably remembered that he's got 2 years left and I think $100 million on that contract probably still available to him if he wants to keep playing. I think that probably helps shift his mind into thinking, I'll probably keep playing. But any darkness retreats, any retreats at all that you've done for yourself over the time, Grubby, just gone into, I don't know, some sort of camp to reinvigorate?
Definitely not, Mido. No. What is a darkness camp?
He apparently went and sat in the dark for 4 days.
No, he didn't.
You know what a darkness camp used to be? When you had a big night, you'd be in bed the next morning.
Yeah.
You'd just pull the curtains closed. Just lights off.
It's
and
like,
just lie
it's like
there
the hotel room. Yeah. You know, when you're in a hotel room, it's that dark. There's nothing better.
That's the darkness.
There's nothing better. But no, nothing like that. $100 million is very... You can't
it's
say
pretty
no.
good reason to keep playing.
You know what? And
US, by the way.
Who would you take, Lamar or Aaron Rodgers?
That's a good question.
Depends on the team and
you
the situation.
You just have to go.
Leave his personality aside.
No, I'm taking Rodgers, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even you know he's only got 2 more years left. Lamar's probably got a good. What?
Yeah, I want 10? To win the Super Bowl now.
Now, yeah, that's a fair call. It depends where your team's at.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, the Lamar one, though. Like, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I do. I honestly do. I love the way he plays.
Is his arm
good enough?
Good, yeah.
Because we know with his legs he can run and
all
that type of stuff, but accuracy with the arm.
Yeah, I do. I think personally, can he... Yeah, that's the thing, though. Can he win a Super Bowl? But you know what? It might not be a bad thing for him to leave Baltimore and go somewhere and change it up. You know, a bit of a fresh start. Maybe send him to a dark camp. What is it?
The darkness camp.
Yeah. Well, they're just different, isn't it? Just like, imagine weird. That. Imagine, mate, you know, like,
just
like me
weird.
Now, you know, I'm in that stage now, you know, mate. I might got a couple of years left in me or not.
Well, mate,
put it this way. Darkness camp.
Mate, imagine you going, sitting around with your mates on a Saturday, having a quiet beer. You go, boys, you go to a darkness camp next weekend. Anyone interested?
Yeah.
What would be the reaction?
You know what my mates would honestly say? Get off the friend bus.
The bus is full. You're out.
All right, the A-League men's, it resumes this week after the week off with the international break. By the way, the Socceroos up against Ecuador tonight in Melbourne. But Sydney FC coming off that 4-0 defeat to the Wanderers last Saturday night, or the Saturday before, I should say. They host Western United this week at Allianz. And, well, he's been out with a hamstring injury for about a month. Adam Lafondra, Sydney FC striker, joins us now. Adam, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
How's the body, and are you available this week?
I've got the all clear yesterday, so I start full training unrestricted as of this week. So I like to think I'm going to be available for this weekend.
Yeah, Adam, everyone looks forward to the derby between you guys and Western Sydney Wanderers, but to go down 4-0, obviously very disappointing. What did the manager have to say to you after the game, and how disappointed was the Sheds?
Yeah, obviously, I think we know as a player that that's unacceptable, and you know we all know as a playing staff and as a coaching staff it's unacceptable. You know, I think Bimby said it was possibly the worst, you know, result he's had as the manager of obviously Sydney FC. And, you know, to lose in that manner in the derby at home as well was, you know, well, like I say, was unacceptable, and we bore the brunt of that as players. And you know, you have to take that criticism on board because, you know, these are the sort of games that you have to, you know, rise and shine for. And unfortunately, we didn't.
Adam, how was the international break, mate? Did it give you a chance as a team to focus on, you know, playing some finals football?
Yeah, of course. We had to work on a few things. Obviously, like I've said in the majority of injuries all season, we've been inconsistent. The only thing we have been consistent at is how inconsistent we have been. And We need to nail this down because, you know, we're in a perilous position where we're going to throw away finals football, the chance of finals football, by being so inconsistent and not, you know, nailing down a regular form. So we have to work on things as a team and individually as well. And we have to, you know, all come together now for these last five games to, you know, really show our true selves. We can't just keep, you know, doing what we're doing because it's not good enough.
How did Steve Corica treat the break then? Was it a case of, after that loss, just go away, clear your heads for a few days? Or was it, no, let's get together and train, you know, do some really hard sessions?
Yeah, let's get together and train. Obviously, we had a bit of a shortened week because the boys had an internal match as well against MacArthur. But, you know, we trained quite vigorously during the week, so obviously, there's work to do when you get big 4-0 at home by the local rivals. It's not the sort of thing where you go on, boys, go and clear your head. You know, it's all hands to the pump, and we have to rectify the situation. And you know, the next game that presents itself, we have to be at our best, and we have to win. You know, we can no longer give up games at home and just, you know, sort of lollygag the season.
All games are important now in the lead up to the finals, Adam. But taking on Western United, it's even more important because they're only 2 points behind you on the ladder. So if you can get a win in this game, you can go 5 points clear of them.
Yeah, obviously for us, I think obviously the five games as a whole are massively important. But I think the way we've been so inconsistent this season is it's so important for us to just focus on that next game. And like you say, it presents a huge challenge in playing Western United, who are just behind us, but it gives us great confidence if we do beat them. And you know, it creates that gap and, you know, it makes us look above rather than below and start fretting. I think it's important that we have to try and, you know, set a challenge of tracking people down in front of us rather than looking at the teams below us.
Adam, as you just mentioned, it is a big game for the team, but also it's Ryan Grant's 300th game, mate. Obviously, he's a massive part of, you know, the club. What would it mean for you boys to get up for him for that game?
Yeah, I think that'll be one of the main, you know, motivations for the game. Obviously, it's a huge game for him and an outstanding milestone for a Sydney FC legend. And, you know, he's obviously played numerous times for the Socceroos as well. So he's got obviously an abundance of talent and is a great player. So, you know, it's on us as players to obviously make that day special for him and ourselves as well to obviously restore, you know, a little bit of pride and a little bit of faith to the fans after obviously the derby.
You mentioned there before, Adam, about inconsistencies in your performance. Is there one specific thing that stands out, or is it a combination of everything? And I think when we last had you on, we were talking about the same thing, about the inconsistency in the performances. And When and who drives the standards, and when do you nail it and go, boys, this is unacceptable?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're quite lucky here at Sydney that we've always had a good group in the dressing room, and it's been on, obviously, the older players, the leaders, to, you know, stand down on standards and, you know, say when it's not right. And obviously the coach as well, he drives the culture of the club, and he adheres the standards and gives everyone the, you know, obviously the principles of what we want to do and what it is to be a Sydney FC player. And obviously the leaders administer them and make everyone sort of toe the line. And I just think it's been such a up and down season for us. We've been good at one thing and bad at the other. And, you know, at one point we're good at scoring, but we're also bad at letting goals in. And then we stop letting goals in, but stop scoring goals. And, you know, they're two terrible recipes for, you know, a really, really good team.
Well, Adam, looking forward to seeing yourself personally back on the pitch as well after that injury. And hopefully, Sydney FC, it's a great finish to the season starting against Western United this week. Thanks for your time, as always.
Cheers. Thanks so much, guys.
And with, thank you, Adam Lafondre there. With TAB, Sydney FC $1.80. Western United $4.25. The draw $3.80.
They need him back, Minna.
Oh, for sure. But they're just leaking goals.
Well,
they
are leaking goals, but it also starts with the way that everyone defends, not just your defenders at the back of the field. But he was in terrific form before, before he got injured, and it's I'm assuming it's the same in football as it is in rugby league. If you're scoring points, that gives you confidence as well. But defensively, yep, they've got to tighten up because leaking 4 points was not acceptable. And in particular, a derby. So I can only imagine how they're feeling after that performance. And you can only imagine this weekend they will want to make a statement and say, hey, guys, we apologise for what we did last week or 2 weeks ago to their fans and say, this is us, this is who we are. They'll bring energy and get that victory because Sydney FC supporters are very, very passionate and they would have been as disappointed as the players with that result. You know, you never go into a derby expecting to get beaten by four. So Sydney FC have got a lot to prove this weekend. They have been inconsistent, but their best is still good enough.
Now tonight, the Socceroos in Ecuador, Marvel Stadium, and the market with TAB. Well, it's $2.60 each at two, the Socceroos in Ecuador, and the draw is paying $3.20. Graham Arnold said yesterday there'll be six or seven changes amongst them. Unfortunately, Harry Soutar copped an ankle injury on Friday evening, so he's gone back to the UK to his team Leicester City over there in the Premier League to rehab. Riley McGree will get a start tonight, Arnold said yesterday, and Bailey Wright. Well, he will be the replacement for Harry Soutar. So that'll be amongst the changes for the match tonight. And also Mossy, he's got a two-leg same-game multi. I'm finding it on Bet's Friends on the TAB app. Mossy yesterday suggested correct score, Socceroos 2-1, and Mitch Duke, anytime goal scorer. That is paying $12. You can find it on Bet's Friends. Look for that tile on the TAB app. Sky Racing's Brad Davison, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And great days racing on Saturday, heading towards day one of the championships. Let's wrap Saturday, though, and Prowess. What a performance that was in the Vinery, but already back in New Zealand, Davo.
Yeah, I said on Saturday, guys, I wonder whether they would have second thoughts about staying and heading to the Oaks after that performance. I mean, she was just so arrogant on the weekend that you would think the Oaks would have been at her mercy, but the team and Roger James, they were adamant that she was going to head home and have that spell. They weren't going to go to the world one more time. And look, they came here with one race in mind, and gee, wasn't she just so impressive. Turning for home, I thought she was in a bit of trouble. Pavitra seemed to travel into the race so much better, but by the 200-metre mark, it was a case of how far. And, you know, these New Zealanders, guys, we saw it with Imperatrice on Friday night as well, and they just continue to show up and take our feature races. And, it's going to be a big autumn for them, no doubt.
And we also had a Kiwi trainer taking out the Tancred Stakes, Bjorn with a Rapaho.
Yeah, look, he's been a horse that's flown under the radar for some time, Loz. And a beautiful ride by Rachel King to just track up beautifully on the turn. And it was too good for Montefilia late, who probably a bit stiff not to win the race. It was her own doing, though. It wasn't anyone else. But just at the 500 metre mark, she seemed to put her foot maybe in a soft part of the track. That was the word from the jockey, and she seemed to just falter really and lose a length at a crucial stage when she was tracking into the race. She lost the back of Val and Declare, and that was probably cost of the race. She's only been beaten sort of quarter, you know, half a length in the end of the day. So, but take nothing away from Arapahoe. He won the Canberra Cup prior to that. He's been building beautifully this preparation. And, you know, to be able to do that at weight for age was terrific. I thought there were a number of great Sydney Cup trials in that. Cleveland, obviously the real eye-catcher. But I thought King Frankel was just as good. I mean, he took off about 700 metres from home, and he did a great job to finish so close at weight for age, considering he's a young stayer on the up. So, you know, a couple of horses that are going to plummet in the weights come the Sydney Cup in a few weeks' time, and I'm sure Cleveland will be starting favourite. He really savaged the line there, and I thought heading into the race he was your Sydney Cup handicap horse rather than your weight for age horse, and I think that told, but look, he ran out of his skin.
Dave, I see Goldman's come into Melbourne Cup favouritism, mate.
Yeah, Josh, should he be Melbourne Cup favourite? Some people have differing views on that, but one thing you can't argue is how progressive he is. I mean, that was a beautiful front-running ride, but he never ever looked like it in court, did he? He just rated him beautifully out in front, and he's got that ability to kick off a really nice speed, which is, you know, an asset in any horse, let alone a young progressive stayer. So 3,200 metres, I don't see any issue. He's obviously booked his ticket in the Melbourne Cup now, and look, a lot of water to go under the bridge, but it looks very exciting heading towards the spring.
And, what a performance from Cascadian to claim the TAB Australian Cup. So the Cummings name gets on that trophy once again.
Yeah, rising nine-year-old, guys. But once that gap opened at about the 250-metre mark, he sprinted like a three-year-old. He just put him to the sword in a matter of 100 metres. And, look, I know everyone was raving about the ride, but for me it was all about the horse. I mean, to do what he did there at, you know, when it went out at the 250-metre mark, he had a lot of ground to make up. And he's just been a sensational horse over a number of seasons since coming out to Australia. And, you'd love to own him. He's so genuine, and great to see him grab another Group 1 there on the weekend.
What are you most looking forward to? Which race, Davo, this weekend?
Oh, gee, Loz, we're sport for choice. The championships. Day 1's always sort of my favourite, even though this year I think you'd almost say Day 2 with the Queen Elizabeth, with the clash of, you know, Animo and Dubai Honour and what they can do and what that's going to bring to the sport. I think that's something we can really promote and push. But in terms of Day 1, I can't go past the Doncaster. I love these big handicaps. They're great from a form angle because you can make cases for so many horses and generally find a couple at 20-1 that are really good chances because of the weight. That's the race for me that I always love each and every year, the Doncaster. So I can't wait for that and to see how that field lines up in the next few days.
Yeah, as good a day as it gets, isn't it? Are you following anything, Davo, out of the meeting on Saturday? Anything in particular we can look at next start? I suppose, again, we're just sport for choice, aren't we?
Yeah, look, Goldman's a star you can stick with, I'm sure, in the spring. But in Sydney, I thought a tissue was probably the run of the day. Just got way too far back for mine. Jumped well and gave him a huge start, but rattled home. I thought it was the run of the day. I thought Wicklow was one to follow as well. So I thought they were two horses you can stick with this preparation out of the Sydney meeting.
Davo, you have a great day. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Cheers.